Mark Cuban is with us right now for a second segment. And Mark, last night after the game, a couple of disappointing games, which we can get to later on. But after the game, Luka sounded off about the little play-in series between the 7 and 10 seeds that's coming up here after the season's over with. And you sounded off as well on it later on. And I kind of reiterate what your thoughts are on that. And I'm wondering if it's because you're in that particular spot right now. Let's say if the Mavs were a 3 seed, would you still be complaining about it?
Yeah, because we still have to rest, because even the 3 seed is worried about falling to the 7 seed.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I guess depending on how far...
No, I mean, because look, there's, 20 games to go. Nobody has an insurmountable lead. And if you look at the teams at the top, they've had near no health problems whatsoever, whether it's COVID or otherwise. And that's really lucky. I mean, look what just happened with Jamal Murray, which was horrific.
Yep.
And so you still have to worry. And, you know, I was just going through the number of games played. That's what people don't realize. Like, I'll just jones on Mavs and videos and playoffs and then players and then NFTs all day. And I was going through all the player games played because I was curious the teams ahead of us. And for a couple of the teams, their players have played, you know, 51 out of 52 games, averaging 35 minutes. You know, we've made the decision to take the exact opposite approach. That, yeah, we might have to, you know, face a play-in, but we think, you know, we're only 2.5 games behind Portland. And, yeah, unfortunately, we blew 2 games here. But, you know, we think we can still catch them and pass them. And we think part of that strategy is being stronger at the end. But the problem is, you know, because there's so many rescheduled games, there's so many games compressed into such a short period of time, it's really, really difficult on everybody, not just the players. And that's unfortunate. And a big part of that, if this was just regular playoff scenarios where it was just 1 through 8, it'd be different. You know, you wouldn't necessarily worry about, okay, am I at 7 or 8? Yeah, I might play this team or that team, but, you know, we think we can beat either one of them. Now it's like, well, you know, if you're 7 or 8 and you happen to just lose the first two games, you're out. When there's been many a team that's come back from 2 games down in a playoff series.
So what's the rationale? Why did the league decide to do this, and why didn't they open it up to, like you said earlier, to every single team in each conference?
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, right? We didn't know how many games were going to get scheduled. We had to get started quickly. We saw what worked in the bubble, and you know, the bubble was a totally different beast, as it turns out, because there was no travel. And even if you played a compressed schedule, because you weren't traveling and you weren't stuck in your room all day and you were able to work out when you needed to and however you needed to, guys, you know, we saw were in great shape and we didn't have issues like this. But now with all the COVID protocols, guys are getting in at 1, 2, 3 in the morning in a city and have to get up and do testing first thing in the morning. Then they have to get tested right after the game. And that, there's just so many things that people don't see that just make this difficult, and that we didn't – it would have been impossible to ever anticipate all these things.
This is Mark Cuban with us here on The Ticket. So with regards to the team, there are many topics that that certainly do make for good conversations. Now, I don't know how many of them have a whole lot of substance behind them, because – honestly, information on why a guy plays or doesn't play, or, you know, it's harder to come by. It's more we take the team's word for it, because sometimes
we always tell the truth.
Well, and I'm just saying, sometimes you guys tell us
always
the dudes are he's fine. We just want to rest him because we think
99% of it, 99% of the time,
because we think it's strategically advantageous,
yep.
Right?
Yep, 100% for all the reasons I just mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, so if we're able to go on a 6-game winning streak to close out the season and a couple other teams are a little bit more tired and falter, then we're going to look brilliant. If it's the other way around, we'll look idiotic. And that's just the way this game goes.
Okay, so is your hand on the accelerator anymore because of this last week or so, thinking,
no,
you know, we now have to get on our horse?
We're only 2.5 games out of six, right? And so we've got 20 games to go. So there's certainly no reason to panic or anything like that. And there's 20 games, you know, in any playoff race, you know, in any sport, 20 games with 2.5 games behind, no one thinks the race is over. And we're literally only, you know, four games out of third, I think it is. I forget the exact. But so, no, we don't need to make any adjustments, you know, because we still have our strategy. And our strategy is to keep our guys fresh. And literally, if you look at these last couple games where our strategy may have been off is, you know, typically we have a bunch of our, I don't want to call them role players because they're all really good, but, you know, the surrounding cast, you know, Dodo and Jay Rich and Nico and Maxi, who, you know, all of them, Trey, all of them step up at one point or another, Timmy Hardaway, and typically one or and Jalen, one or two of them, and sometimes three, have really good games. And, you know, I think maybe they're a little bit tired playing four games in 6 nights, particularly when we sat, you know, we sat KP and we sat Maxi, and so that meant the other guys had to play a lot. And, you know, and again, with all the limitations, 4 games in 6 nights is tough. And I think that's really what hurt us these last few games, that, you know, Jalen's been struggling some, and he'll get, you know, he'll get his legs back. You know, Dodo was crushing it, and we played him a lot, and I think, you know, he was a little bit tired. You know, same with Jay Rich. And so, you know, it's not an excuse. Every team is facing the same thing, but, you know, it's not, it can't just be Luka and KP every night. Really, the way our team is built is we think our role players, and again, I don't even want to call them role players, are really good. And it's not, you know, unusual for Jalen to pop up for 15 and Maxi to hit 15 and Jay Rich to hit 15 and Timmy to hit 15 to 20 all on the same night, or at least get two of those guys to do that. And that's really what we haven't had those past two games.
Are you saying, though, you do have a spot in mind where it will be all gas, no breaks?
Yeah, of course. I mean, look, if we're in the last four games and we need to get up there, unless we just think, you know, for whatever medical reason, it's just we just can't do it. We need to save our gas for the play-in games. Then, yeah, I mean, you'll see us pick it up. But, I don't, you know, Casey tracks how many back-to-backs we still have. I think maybe it's 5. So here we are. We got 20 games, and the season ends May 14th. So 1 month from today, basically 30 days from today, we have to play 20 games. And of those 20 games, we have 4 or 5 back-to-backs. Think about that.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, 20 games. Like, if you go back and you look at months where you, you know, when you talk about the Mavs record in the month, it was 10-7 and, you know, 13-6. I mean, it's hard to play 20 games in a month with that many back-to-backs after already having gone through what we've gone through.
Man, you're walking a really fine line with it, though, with trying to avoid the conversation of the play-in game and resting these guys.
Yeah, and the other side, you know, oh, you wore your guys out, and you got to it, and, you know, you got beat because, you know, again, in this league, one team goes off. Like, we've had Oklahoma City, we had Houston, guys who shoot 30% from three making 6 out of 7, right? That's just the way the NBA is, and we've had the same thing where guys who weren't making threes all of a sudden go off, and a team makes 20 threes in a game against you, and you think you're going to beat them, but they got hot, and that's just the way this NBA is. And if you get on the cold streak and somebody else gets on a hot streak, it's over. And so, you know, you can't anticipate everything, but we're trying to do everything we can to keep our guys as fresh and healthy as possible.
You concerned at all? You know, a lot of the conversation today has revolved around Luka after those two missed threes in which he kind of threw his hands up in the air and didn't hustle back, and Embiid got fouled and goes to the line, and the national guys were talking about, hey, he's got to grow up, he's got to take responsibility and not just stand there with his hands up in the air and go back and hustle his butt off to set an example, you know, on defense for the rest of the team. Are you concerned at all that the amount of text that he's had in situations like that, that it's not going in the proper direction right now?
No, it's not that it's not going in the proper direction. It's that he gets frustrated. You know, teams go through a growing up process. We went through it with Dirk, Nash, and Finn, you know, where I was talking to Dirk the other day. You know, we were on a flight together, and we were laughing about it because I could tell when Dirk was mad or bored, you know, and you know, there's so many games coming so quickly, it's hard not to be frustrated and it's hard not to get mad. Now, the technicals are another issue, and he knows it. He knows that's a problem, and we talk about it. He talks about it. And, you know, if you notice his demeanor the last couple games, it's been much better because he knows he's close. And there was one tech in there that was rescinded because all he did was say N1 and the ref was out and gave him a tech, and so they rescinded that. And so, but he's still close and he knows it's an issue and he's reminded of it constantly. And, you know, that's just Luka, and he'll adapt. He's not dumb. Let's put it that way. He's not dumb. His care factor is through the roof. He wants to win more than anything. And part of that is he gets frustrated sometimes and, you know, he'll grow up with that and he'll get better at it.
I'm going to ask a admittedly dumb question just because it is out there. How important is it that your players are really good friends with each other? Because
you know, I can tell you story after story after story over these past 21 years where guys did not get along at all and it didn't matter at all. Nobody on our championship, you know, not that nobody, there were guys on our championship team that were not best friends, right? That you know, were cordial. And it's just the way it goes. But there wasn't social media to record every instance of it. And so, no, they don't have to be best friends. And, you know, Rick Carlisle tells the story all the time about Larry Bird and Kevin McHale barely getting along, but on the court they played well together.
Were you surprised at all when, like, I mean, I'm sure, you know, it took you 10 years to get fully adjusted to owning this thing and seeing, issues within teams and guys getting along and not getting along. But was that one of, because as a fan, you just look at it from the outside and think, they're all best friends and they hang out together and they go drinking.
No, factions, for sure. For sure. And that's why, you know, our role always has been, you can have one knucklehead, you can't have two. Because when you get two, they hang out together and that creates other problems and they look for friends. But yeah, I learned early on. I mean, there's stories I can't name names, but I had one guy who just disappeared, just gone, right? I had to try to go hunt him down in my first couple of years. And, you know, we had other guys that we didn't want anywhere near the team, and we told them, don't come around. You know,
just to be clear, you didn't have to look for the guy who disappeared, like, in your guest house, did you?
No. It wasn't Rodman. No,
what room are you in, you bastard?
Yeah, it wasn't Rodman. But yeah, there's every team has got that. And now, and here's part of the challenge now, because, you know, the first few years that I was in, it was still old school, right? Pounded out, you know, macho, and, you know, the vets would just try to beat the hell out of the rookies, you know, and we're still evolving. I mean, it was only the year before I bought the team that they had beer and cigarettes in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It's a better world, Mark.
Yeah, and I said no to that. And now, you know, Gen Z is night and day different from even the millennials, just how they grew up. And everything is video. Nothing is reading. Everything is short sound bites. Nothing is extended. You know, teaching them and developing them and what their expectations are completely different. They're already brands. They're seen as brands. Now in college, you're seeing the name, image, and likeness issues where, you know, kids are minting their own NFTs and they're going to want to know how much money they can make by selling their name, image, and likeness. And all these things are evolving so quickly that, you know, Rick and I have talked about it multiple times where you can't coach kids the same way today when they're 20, 21, 22, as you did a 22-year-old when Dirk came in, you know, or a 22-year-old 6 years ago. It's just night and day different. And on top of that, guys can't even leave their hotel room right now. And so how they deal with the stress and the pressure is completely different. And, you know, you have to deal with mental health issues completely differently. You know, we worry about our 11-year-olds and our teenagers. You know, I have a 17, 14, and 11-year-old. Luca just turned 22. He's only 4 years older than my oldest, and I'm terrified about her mental health because, you know, half the time she's in school, half the time she's not. We're worried about COVID. You know, it's not that different in terms of mental health issues and pressure and stress with, you know, players today, particularly the youngest players, you know, because they're just out there. You know, think about it. Last year, if you were a rookie or a second-year player, you didn't really have a normal season. You don't know what normal NBA is other than, you know, the first year that you had. And now you don't have another normal season. It's completely back-ass half-words. And so, it's, you know, all these pressures that we talk about ourselves, whether you work at a radio station, a radio conglomerate, whether you work at an insurance company, no matter where you work, we talk about the pressures and mental health issues, and we worry about our kids and their mental health issues. Well, NBA players and professional athletes are no different whatsoever. It's just, you know, a completely different environment. And so, but here we are trying to paint them with the same brush that we've painted athletes for the last 50 years. You know, but a lot has changed. And one of the biggest challenges of an organization, and look, I had the same conversation with the AD at Indiana University when they were looking at picking a new coach. You know, you have to be adaptive. You have to be agile. You have to understand that there are pressures and issues. Vaccine, you know, yeah, I want all of our guys to get vaccinated, but it's a process because the people in their families may or may not, you know, believe in vaccines. And, you know, all these different things that just create pressure that we all face, you know, NBA athletes are not immune to, and we have to address those.
Are you guys all, is the team all vaccinated? I mean, the people that want to be vaccinated, are they?
Everybody who wants a vaccine has gotten one, and I can't tell you anything more than that.
Okay.
So Rick, just to wrap this up, Rick Carlisle, I swear, a couple years ago, would have seemed crazy to talk to him about the TikTok generation. He's an adaptable coach, and he...
Yep. He's got a 16-year-old. He's got.
Yeah. Okay. That probably helps. That probably helps quite a bit, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he'll talk about Abby all the time, and you know, it is. You've got kids. You see the difference.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've talked, you know, for a long time, I talked to my kids about, you know, let's read a book about this, or I'll read this book with you. And I'll tell you what changed my mind. Not to go too far afield. I was talking to my son, who started asking me questions about Shark Tank, which he never watches unless it pops up on TikTok or YouTube. And, you know, he started saying, Dad, why do you not like royalty deals? Because he saw a TikTok about it. And I'm like, well, you know what a royalty is? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, what is it? He goes, when somebody is paid a percentage of sales. I'm like, okay. And I said, well, I'm more interested in gross margin dollars, even more than sales. Do you know what gross margin dollars are? And he said, yeah, that's what's left over after your cost of goods sold when you sell something. I'm like, how did you learn this? This is when he was like just turned 10. You know, yeah, I just watch videos on TikTok and YouTube. They're, you know, if I'm interested in something, I just pick up videos on it. And it really made me realize that kids today learn differently. And, you know, whether it's my 11, 14, or 7, my 17-year-old reads a little bit more because she was still, you know, she's old enough to have read some in her learning process.
She remembers books, yes.
Yeah, she remembers. Yeah, she's old enough to remember books as a learning tool. But, you know, but not everybody is among her friends is a reader like her. And that's the same with NBA athletes. And Rick knows it. I know it. And it's really, really tough and a big change for an organization to adapt like that. And that's literally one of our biggest challenges, particularly in player development, because you have to be very holistic, very organized, and very different than we were 10, 15, 20 years ago.
I feel like that your 11-year-old and mine are not watching the same videos. Like, mine's watching like a cheetah fart on a Volkswagen or something
like
that.
No, he's watching those because we crack up over those because he knows I've got a, you know, 11-year-old sense of humor. But, yeah, and he's watching Naruto and, you know, all this anime and this and that.
Yeah.
But, you know, every now and then, you know, because he got into Dogecoin and, you know.
Of course he did. Yeah. Send him over to explain economics to us if you get a chance. Appreciate that. Mark, it's a real pleasure. Thank you for the extra time, and let's talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care.
Mark Cuban.
There he goes.
The one and only.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.